Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, once again, to Sound Heart Radio. I would like for you to know that the name of the show, Sound Heart, was taken from the Greek. In fact, it was taken from a word that was used by the Apostle Paul. He used this particular word in 1st and 2nd Timothy and the book of Titus in the pastoral epistle. And the word sound means healthy. So that's the meaning of the word of sound heart, that is a healthy heart. And Paul spoke about healthy doctrine or life-giving doctrine. So we need to understand the living reality of the word, and that is healthy teaching. As opposed to unhealthy teaching, that is teaching that is not balanced, teaching that may contain a little truth but not the truth. And so it is imperative that we understand as believing ones that we must have a steady diet of the Word of God. Now, I'm going to be reading from Mark chapter 4, beginning at verse 35, quote, "That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, 'Let us go over to the other side.' Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was, in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped," or literally should read, now full. "Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, don't you care if we drown?' He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, 'Quiet, be still.' Then the wind died down and it was complete calm. He said to his disciples, 'Why are you still afraid? Do you still have no faith?' They were terrified and asked each other, 'Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him?' Now, the Sea of Galilee is 13 miles long, and it is 8 miles wide. So when the cold air from the mountains meet the warm air of the lake, then a situation is created. This situation creates storms. And so Jesus and the disciples were on the western shore, and he wanted to row over to the eastern shore for refreshment. But this desire on the part of Jesus to go over to the eastern shore was a teaching event for his disciples. And in the Old Testament, we have the word tiham. Tiham, in Hebrew, is the name for the monster chaos. And in ancient Near Eastern imagery, and the ancient Near Eastern imagery of the monster chaos is subdued by the powerful divine warrior. Now, after the great Mabul, the great flood in the book of Genesis, the rainbow appears, and the bow appears in the sky, and it is a symbol that the divine warrior had hung up his bow. And so that his wrath had been completed. So here the disciples would get an opportunity to see an incredible event unfold in their lives with regard to who Jesus is. Now notice verse 35, quote, that day when evening came, okay, it was most probably a very busy day for Jesus, he said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side. Now, in the Greek is very interesting. This is the I'm going to now read from the King James Version, which reads, quote, let us pass over unto the other side. Now, literally, in the Greek, it reads, let us pierce through. Let us pierce through to the other side. So you can tell, you can see in the language and the way Jesus speaks that this is an extraordinary event. So let us go over to the other side, leaving the crowd behind. They took him along just as he was, just as he was. I don't quite know what's all involved with that language, but it's happening, just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. And a squall came up, and the way I just described it a few moments ago. And the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped, or literally it was now full. The boat was full of water. And it is interesting because verse 38 states that Jesus was in the stern, that is the back of the boat, sleeping on a cushion. This cushion was made of leather. And this is where the steersman would sit to steer the boat. Here, the steersman is Jesus, and he is asleep. He's sleeping on a cushion. And he was tired from a busy day of work. And so we see his humanity in this situation. He needed rest after this very laborious day. So the disciples, who are now terror-stricken, they are terror-stricken, woke him. And this was their collective statement to him. Teacher, don't you care if we drown? Teacher, don't you care if we drown? In the King James Version, it reads, Master, carest thou not that we perish? So, we have here the disciples woke him. The Greek reads to stir up, stir up. And so this is what they did. And maybe they realized it or not, but in the Old Testament, when Yahweh seemed to be asleep, he would be invoked to awake because his people were in danger. Please read Psalm 44, verses 22 and 23. Please read Psalm 35, 23. Please read Psalm 59, verse 4. Please read Isaiah 51:9, and please read Psalm 78, verses 65 and 66. So they invoked Yahweh to awake. And so they were threatened. They felt they were threatened. They believed they were threatened. And so verse 39 reads, quote, "He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, 'Quiet, be still.'" So the wind here is symbolic of the voice of circumstance. And then Jesus said, "Quiet." Theopeo. Theopeo in Greek. Quiet. Theopeo. And then there was this involuntary stillness. So, and he said to the sea, "Be still." And then, so he muzzled the sea. So the wind is the voice of circumstances, and the sea is the uncertainty of circumstances. The disciples questioned Jesus about circumstances, and he questioned them about lack of faith in the midst of circumstances. He questioned them about their lack of faith in the midst of circumstances. He was there. God was there. God was present, present tense. God is. God was there. And so they invoked him to awake. And their words were, "Teacher," at the end of verse 38, "don't you care if you perish, or don't you care if you drown?" And so look at this teaching of that. Our testing is very real. Our tests are real. Tests from God show us who we are. Tests reveal us to ourselves because God already knows. Are you going through a testing event right now? And are you questioning God's love for you? Well, God loves you. God knows what you need and God knows what you don't need. Has God told you or called you to put down pornography? Has God called you and told you to get rid of that relationship you have online? Has God told you to end that affair? Has God told you that you need to be honest with him? You need to confess your sin and get back in fellowship with him? Because you won't be happy, you won't be at peace, you won't find satisfaction until your life is right with God. Are you a faithful believer and you find yourself being tested and it's hard for you and you want to give up? Don't give up. You find your circumstances to be incredible, unbelievable, terribly hard for you. Then you need to call upon the Lord. I am speaking from experience. I do not talk from theory. I speak from concrete experience. He will guide you through. He does not bring you to not to lead you through. Jesus is there for you. He loves you. You must, by faith, walk through this event that God has place in your life for a reason. And if you do so by faith, if you look up to God, you stop looking to man, stop telling people around you what's going on, stop feeling sorry for yourself, God will give you a wonderful blessing. But you have to speak with him. He will lead you. He will lead you through your situation. Read Psalm 23 and please read Psalm 1. Good afternoon and God bless you.